Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Thank God that I got a story. You know, we've all got a story, what God has done in our lives. And yeah, I just praise Jesus for that. That was great to praise Jesus like we did this morning. It was awesome. I don't know what it's like for you guys back there, but it was pretty awesome down here. Just kind of being in the presence of God and woof. Worshipping with strength and might. Excellent stuff. A great start to the day, like Pastor Shane said. Okay, so my story. Better crack on. Got a lot to fit in. It all started the day I was born. Surprisingly. I'm going to mute some of this. 21 years ago. Yeah, thank you for that. So, my spiritual story, I guess that started quite early on as well, really, although I didn't realise it. I was shipped off to places like Sunday school. Remember those days? Sunday school. Anybody remember Crusaders? Yeah. Crusaders. Shipped off to Crusaders and even Boys Brigade as well. God, C of E Baptist have had a right over me. Boys Brigade, yeah. Till you got slung out. I'm surprised they let you in the first place, mate. What's that? Very naughty. I hope you've confessed. The public confession is very good. Anybody else want to give a public confession? This one? All right, but you know, God has a funny way of working. It's all seed, isn't it? They say the word of God is seed. So I'm sure there was seed that was sown into my life. I mean, it hadn't come to fruit as a yet. It hadn't come to flourish, but God had a plan. All right. I often hear people's testimonies, or I've heard people's testimonies, how they were kind of searching for an answer in life. Oh, what's the answer? You know, what's life all about? You know, and other people who were kind of really kind of sad because of the circumstances of life, they weren't happy, they couldn't find fulfillment. I wasn't really any of that. I just kind of ran into God by accident, or was it design? Or was it design? My brother. He had a mate who was from a Christian family. His mum, she would later become a bit of a spiritual mum to me, Mrs. Diebel. A few of you might have met her, actually. But I was her lodger for a few years, and she was great. But anyway, the church I went to, they were very keen on getting people to come along to the gospel service, get them to come along to church, etc. So kind of heavy on the evangelistic side of things. And my brother's mate got him along to go to church, and my brother, he kind of twisted my arm to go along to church, to the Good News Club, which was like a midweek club that ran for the young people. And I can remember going along with another mate of mine, Sean, when I was about 12-ish, and my brother volunteered me for faith. It kind of got me to have a word with the youth leader, and the youth leader kind of prayed with me at the end. Do you want to become a Christian? Well, I'm not sure, really. This might come back, and then you'll be left all alone, and you won't be going to heaven. Oh, all right then. You know, so, but that's pretty much how it was. And I don't know, but there was something that sparked, even at that time, even under those circumstances. Something kind of sparked and came along. I just believed, you know. I wasn't necessarily a disciple, I just believed. You know, everything he was saying, I just knew it was true. Some people struggle, kind of say, well, I'm not sure it's true. I just knew it was. You know, that's just me. That's the way I was. Wasn't necessarily modeled to me. my brother wasn't the best disciple in the world, shall we say. But although, yeah, he was going to church and all that, there was lots of other stuff going on that wasn't very Jesus-like, shall we say. So I didn't have a fantastic example to copy. But yeah, that's where my faith journey, my life with Jesus kind of started. Like I say, it was a good church. It was great teaching. Yes, it had its faults because it had people in it, you know, much like every other church does. Yeah, but like I say, I was a believer. And as a believer, and not necessarily a disciple, I can remember lots of times of rededicating my life to God, you know, when there would be they call an altar call. You could have an altar call. Kind of call you to the front to rededicate your life to God. And I did that several times over, you know, because I haven't really developed my own relationship with God. So there was nothing to make me walk with God. It was just a case of, I need to rededicate my life to God. I need to rededicate my life to God again and again and again. That type of thing. I'm sure we've seen it all. We've seen people doing that. It happens. But, you know, God wants a depth of relationship with us. Now, it was a fun time when I was kind of younger. Summer camps, youth groups, and stuff like that. It was good. But like I say, not too much depth. I was part of the Rebels Corner. It was a fairly biggish church. It was kind of stretched back probably to the other side of the road. So you could sit at the back and not be noticed too much. We got a bit of a reputation as being the rebels. During my mid-teens, I decided I was going to take a walk on the wild side. So a good night out would consist of drinking too much Strongbow and smashing things up. Sorry, that's just what I like to do as a young person, you know. Any lads out there used to like smashing things up, or am I alone? Yeah, lads, thank you. Oh, it's a lads thing. It's not big and it's not clever, you know. Edmund Hillary, they said, why do you want to climb Everest? He said, because it's there, you know. He said, why do you want to smash things up? Because it's there. Don't recommend doing it, though. All right, lads, it's naughty. Stop it now. You have stopped it now, haven't you, lads? No, let's not. No, right. But yeah, fame beckoned. I got in the Gloucester Citizen. Vandals have smashed the windows at the DSS. And there was another one. The railings in Southgate Street have been pulled down by vandals. That was me. Anyway, moving on. If you kind of walk away from God, you start to walk into the dark side. Yeah. The enemy starts to get a control over your life. And he comes to steal, kill and destroy. Which is why you like to destroy things when you're under the influence of the enemy, yeah? Can you see that's where kind of vandalism and that kind of stuff comes from? But anyway, I managed to get myself arrested for shoplifting once. Perhaps it was my criminal DNA, I don't know. I could blame it on that, couldn't I? You know, people do that. You need to blame somebody, don't you? Well, it's in my DNA, I just couldn't help it. No, it was a choice, and made some bad choices, and managed to get pinched a few times. But true love was Liverpool Football Club. I had great camaraderie at the football, going to watch the football, learned to speak Scouse, okay? Home and away, they took my cash, you know, they took my identity. That's who I was. I was a Liverpool fan. I was one of their disciples. And the sense of adventure came from travelling through Birmingham New Street, dodging the Birmingham Zulus and the Villa Youth and other people like that. Some people were thinking, what is he talking about? They're kind of like football gangs back in the 80s. It wasn't so good back in the 80s, going to watch football. In fact, it was really bad. Going to West Ham away, Chelsea away, you took your life in your hands. But worst of all, 1985, went to the Heysel Stadium where there was a riot. Now people say, well, is there such a thing as evil? I tell you. Definitely, you know, when I went inside that football ground, fine outside, as soon as you walk through the gates inside, there was just like a presence of evil inside that place. 38 people died that night in a riot. It was it was bad, but, you know, the air was just kind of thick. You thought, ooh, you know, like they say when the hairs go on the back of your neck and all that lot, it was kind of, I was living in a backslidden state, but, man, when I walked in that place, you just knew that something evil was there, you know. So, yeah, I definitely know that there's a God, and I definitely know there's evil, you know? You're glad to hear that, aren't you? But if people aren't convinced of that, believe me, it would have been that evening, perhaps. But there was evil at work, and there is evil at work in this world. We see it all the time, every time we turn the news on and things like that. I had myself a YTS, a youth training scheme, back in the day. In an insurance office. What kind of a person wants to work in an insurance office? It was just... just not my cup of tea. What was I doing there? You know, I had no idea what I wanted to do in my life. You know, I guess my life was directionless at that time. You know, when I was younger. You make bad mistakes and bad choices, and there's no one to dig you out when God's not in your life. All right, that's why we need God within our life. I was one of, after the youth training scheme finished, they didn't offer me employment. I can't imagine why. Don't know. But I was one of 3 million unemployed, and still showing my face at church sporadically. Sporadically. That's a good word, isn't it? But a dangerous thing had been happening to me over the years, and that was this, that I was getting hard to the Word of God. I just want to advise everybody, don't do that. You know, you can harden yourself to the Word of God. When the truth is being spoken and you're ignoring it and you're resisting it, you can create a hardness to the Word of God. And that is what was happening to me. Moving on a bit. April the 30th. That's a good day, isn't it, Pastor Shane? Yeah. Oh. So many birthdays. I visited my future home, Leicestershire. Liverpool won 2-0. Ian Rush and Ronnie Whelan, we'd just overtaken Everton that very same night, so it looked as though they was on to win the league once again, and the very generous folk of Leicester, they shared their coins with us, and to keep us warm, they threw lit matchboxes at us, very generous folk. The Leicester baby squad, have you ever heard of them? Yeah, you know about them, don't you? Anyway, we won the game. It was fun. We took the mickey. You know, that was just part of my life in those days. May the 2nd. God was setting me up. May the 2nd. It was a Friday night. It consisted of usually go to the pub, onto a nightclub, get as blind drunk as you possibly can, and misbehave yourself on the way home. And that's what we did. Got arrested again for criminal damage. What are you laughing at? Unbelievable. Decided we wanted to take somebody's wall down and play catch with an empty crate of milk bottles. The old thing, like, you know, the old glass ones. They make a real racket in the middle of the night, believe me. Anyway, we got arrested. And let us out at 5 o'clock in the morning. Next day, we was away at Chelsea. And King Kenny gets it on his chest, puts it in the back of the net. Liverpool win the league. Again, come on, Paul. Awesome. So, the day after that, Sunday, May the 4th, 2 days to my 18th birthday, and, I ended up in church. God stitched me up. The back seats in the church were all taken up because we'd arrived late again, which meant we had to sit a little bit forward. Me and my mate, Lenny, he's kind of like a fellow rebel, if you like. But all through all that, those years where I was kind of away from God, I still believed. You know, I knew that it was true. Absolutely knew it, 100%. You know, 100% knew that what the gospel preached, what's in the Bible, I knew that it was true. So anyway, there we were, kind of a lot nearer the front, and the preacher, he was preaching up a storm. He did a really good message, and there was an altar call. Give your life back to God. And my mate, he got up out of his seat, went forward, and said, yeah, that's a fair cop. I can understand why he did that, but I'm going to wait, or so I thought. I'm going to wait because it's the FA Cup final next week. And, I've been waiting for this for so many years. Since Liverpool haven't won the cup in so many years. It was against Everton. But anyway, that's beside the point. Right, God had other ideas. And, I got an ultimatum from God. Like I said, I've been going on and off to church for years. My heart had got kind of hardened. And Mr. Page, he stands up and he gives a message in tongues. Usually stammered, but, you know, it's amazing. When he gave a message in tongues, absolutely no stammer at all. Yeah, it was. It was awesome. And Mrs. Page, yeah, it was his wife, yeah. She got the interpretation, and it was for me. And it went something along the lines of, the Lord has been speaking to your heart. I got it on tape, that's why I know. But you've not been listening. He wants you to know that he loves you, he cares for you, he needs your life. There's a wow in there, isn't it? God needs your life. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, respond to the Spirit of the Lord, or you will go out into the darkness until the day you die. How's that for an ultimatum? Respond to the Spirit of the Lord, for this is your last chance. Sorry if that doesn't fit your doctrine or whatever, but yeah, that was kind of got my attention, that one. And I was trembling. The pastor of the church at the time, he did an appeal. He said, whoever that's for, we're going to wait for you. But I couldn't move because I was scared. You know, I just kind of sat there in my seat. And, being an idiot that I am, I said, God, if that's really me, I want you to confirm it to me. I mean, I knew it was me. But, thankfully, God is gracious. Another friend of mine, he actually got a picture of my face. He kind of burst into tears. And, anyway, cutting a long story short, somebody could see I was a little bit stressed out, and I said, I think I need to talk to somebody. So prayed with somebody at the end, and then talked to my pastor as well. He said, do you mind if I pray for you? He says, here's my advice to you. Go on, get on your knees, and repent before God. Ask him to come in, and he'll do it for you. You know, I prayed with the other chap, but I said, look, I just don't feel anything. He said, it doesn't matter whether you feel anything. It doesn't matter whether you feel anything. But, you know, I just wasn't convinced. I don't know why. Such as the devil whispering in my ear. You know, he's good at doing that. You know, but it's true. You know, if you confess your sins to God, the Bible says he's faithful and just, and he will forgive. You know, it was as simple as that. So I went home. Yeah, I cried first time in a long time. I remember dedicating my life back to God. I said, okay, guys, I remember walking my bike home, actually, because I didn't want to get killed on the way home. That's how terrified I was. But, got down by the side of my bed, prayed to God, God, please forgive me. And, he did. You know, there was tears. God restored me. And this is the beginning, really, of my spiritual walk with God. All right. And I went to the cup final the following week. It ruined it. I was just a different man. It just wasn't the same anymore. You know, God had turned my heart, you know. He turned my affections. And I just wasn't that man anymore. Yeah? Okay. So He came to me when I was out of work. Usually, you know, you kind of hear preachers say, well, God will come to you when you're doing something. Which is true. He did with Peter, he did with John, he did with Levi when they were at work. Jesus came along and he took them. But, you know, we can't put God in a box. He tends to break out of our boxes. You know, he does what he wants to do. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He did get me into work eventually, by the way. But yeah, the church, they did a good job of getting the world out of me. Like I said, they had a kind of active youth group. And, me and my mate, we were kind of exciting to them, I think, you know. They put up with our craziness. We were pretty loopy and pretty crazy, but they put up with us because they could see that there was something, you know, exciting. God had done something. They could see that there was a change, you know. They weren't just kind of sat there week after week like so many who just constantly hear a message or they were bored, you know, they could see that we was kind of hungry. Yeah, come on, give me more, give me more, give me more. You know, it's just, there was a hunger there. They just really wanted to grow and, I'm not bragging or anything, but we just kind of overtook some of the guys who've been there for years. You know, hunger can do that, guys. I encourage you to be hungry for God. So if you're not got a hunger for God, pray, God, give me a hunger for you, because God wants you to kind of go and accelerate with him. And you can do that. It's a good prayer to pray, and God will answer it. Okay, like I say, God was slowly but surely getting the word out of me. I had lots of battles, you know, I had all kinds of different attitudes, and what you're staring at, all that lot, you know, like lads do. But, you know, God starts to knock these things out of you, and build you into the person that he wants you to be. Like I say, they kind of loved us at the church, because yeah, part of us was wild and crazy. Significant people, Pastor Shane was talking about. There were significant people within my life. I remember there was a lady, Marion Collins. She was from Manchester. She used to keep coming up to me. She said, ooh. Sam, could you give us an ooh? So it was a northern ooh. Could you give an ooh? It was like that. It was a bit like, ooh, I got such a burden for you, she'd say. She used to keep kind of coming up to me. She's got a burden for me. This woman's praying for me all the time. What's going on? She said, feel God's got a purpose for your life. You know, I feel as though God wants to do something for your life. It kind of freaks you out a bit as you're a young man who's kind of there in your jeans and your leather jacket. Oh, okay. You know, such a burden for you. Just can't stop praying for you, you know. And you just think, wow, God, that's amazing. You know, what do you want to pray for me? You're getting people to pray for me. Amazing. You know, she was just one woman that God used. There's been several women that God has used to kind of be a spiritual blessing in my life down the years.
Yeah, that includes you, Pastor Lynn.
And yeah, it's just awesome to have those kind of things going on within your life. Okay. There was a few things that God said he wanted to put his finger on in your life. Steve?
What about the football thing? Can you dedicate that to me? Really, God, do I have to?
But, yeah, I did. I made God a promise. I'm going to go again. And, I've kept that promise. Sometimes I've asked God, would it be all right, just go leave it, Steve. Just, okay, God. God doesn't like a divided heart. It's all right for some people. Some people can do that. You know, you can kind of casually go to something and come back into your life with God and it won't affect you. But with me, I was kind of an all or nothing kind of person. It wouldn't be good to do that kind of thing again. So, you know, I've had to just leave it. Leave it with God. He keeps me happy. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. All right. I started some leaps of faith. We all need leaps of faith. You ever read that in the Bible? You need to have leaps of faith. Yeah, Abraham, you know, he spoke to Abraham, that man of faith. Abraham, leave everything you got. I want you to come with me to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but just come and take a journey with me, yeah? Okay, God, let's do it. You know, it was a leap of faith, and you read that all throughout the Bible. David, Gideon, Ruth, etc., etc. God uses what is available. That's woman Marion, she kept coming up, kept praying for us.
Steve, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You really need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought, oh, she's coming again. I haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. I feel as though I've disappointed her so much. I've let her down.
Steve, you need to get filled with the Spirit. I think you need to deal with some things first. You can't go through all that you've gone through and stuff.
Really? I thought, don't get that. And then she kind of come back and said,
actually, I got that bit wrong. It's fine, you can get filled with the Spirit. And he's like, oh, that's a relief. Cool. Anyway, a while after, yes, God filled me with his Holy Spirit. It happened a bit like this. I went to a thing that we used to call youth retreat. Like a youth weekend, and especially designed for young people. Brilliant, really good guy there called Ian Green. He was preaching away, praying for people. And again, he was praying for people to be filled with the Spirit. And I didn't get my breakthrough. I felt kind of crushed. And he said to me at the end, why don't you come with us to Spain? Because they were doing a mission to Spain, like a two-week mission to Spain. And I said, I can't, because I can't afford it. Don't worry about it, he said. God will pay for it. I thought, all right then, I will. Just took him at his word. And God did. So we've got a check. This is for you, Steve. Going to Spain. Thank you, Jesus. It was a leap of faith. I couldn't afford it, you know. But you signed my name, and God sorted the rest out. You can do that, you know. When God speaks to you, you know, you can stand on his word. You can stand in truth. You've got to do it, guys. You've got to take that step of faith, and you don't know what's going to happen as a consequence of it. So, yeah, we go to Spain, and we're there, we're singing, we're dancing, we're evangelizing, we're doing all that kind of thing that young people do. And they had a session there, and they called it the School of the Prophets. And they said, okay, we're just going to minister to one another. And my mate, actually, he got a message from God. Oh, there's someone ready to dive into a pool. And Ian, being the spiritual man, he was, okay, somebody needs a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Who is it? That'll be me then. So a few people kind of spoke to me and said, why don't you just go away by yourself, pray to God. And, you'll fill you with the Spirit. I thought, all right, then I will. So I did, and he did. I just kind of sat there. I was on some steps. We were in a Spanish convent, of all places. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to speak in tongues now. Speaking in tongues. I didn't feel anything. Didn't get any shivers down my spine or anything like that. I just took God. I said, okay, God, that was it. I just spoke in tongues. And that was it. You know, God had released me in the spirit, if you want to put it like that. It's funny, isn't it? But anyway, yeah, people could see the difference. It was nice to get encouraged. Something looks different about you, Steve. Really? Oh, I got filled with the spirit. That must be it then. Awesome. Just makes me better looking all the time. What are you laughing for? Let me think. What can I say to that? Right, okay. All right, I kind of see myself as... has anybody ever read the beginning of Ezekiel? Kind of trippy. You look at it and think, man, what was this guy on when he was writing this? But, you know, it's all the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about the four faces of man, you know. And one of those faces is an ox, you know. And I can kind of see in my life that... that's the kind of characteristics that God has kind of built into me. I'm a bit of an ox Christian, if you like. You know, you're just not that exciting. You just put one step in front of the other. You just keep going and you keep walking. But there's a strength in that. Not bragging, you know. God has built strength into me. That's just the way it is. You know, you can be dependable, one foot in front of the other. You might be that kind of a lion person. Arr, you know what I mean? The tasks come your way. You can roar at them. You can... Hackham and that type of thing. You might be the eagle type of Christian where you can soar. You want to worship God. You just want to soar above your things. You might be that face of a man, you know, where you feel people's pain and you just want to be a people person. You know, I was the ox kind of Christian. You know, that's been a characteristic in my life. One step after the other, yeah? One step after the other. And we can walk the Christian life that way. Just one step after the ever, you know, I'm still learning, I'm still growing, etc. You know, the key is you just take one more step after the other. Keep going, keep going, keep being dependable, keep doing the things that you know that you should do. I was still young, free, and single in those days. I took another step of faith. I went on what they called the ACE team program. Oh, it was a good program. A couple of years. It was a wild time. It was a wild time. Just teams of seven traveling around. So you go and do kind of 3 months of discipleship teaching, great teaching and all. Great camaraderie again, you know, young people all together, forming very, very close, strong friendships, etc. And then they send you out, go to churches, go and speak in schools, do assemblies, do classes, do street evangelism, whatever the church wanted you to do, preach. You're just doing it scared, yeah? Doing it scared. That's it. You take that step of faith. Some things, guys, you just got to do scared. When you take the step of faith with God, it's scary. But God comes through for you. God comes through for you. He's an awesome God, and he helps you, and he gives you the ability that you haven't got, the things that you think you couldn't do. And, probably, it advanced me 5 years, at least, I would have said, in my Christian walk, if you're just going to church and kind of learning day by day, but, you know, actually doing that kind of stuff day in, day out, it advances you greatly in your walk with God. And then the following year, I was actually leading a team. Pressure like I've never known before, that was, I can remember. Tight shoulders, headache, all that kind of thing. Oh, God, leading. Oh, the responsibility. That's why I admire and honor anybody that does leadership. It's a hard job, you know, and there is pressures that you just can't imagine if you're not in that kind of leadership role. Anyway, moving on, I fell in love, like you do. It was never going to work. She was from Manchester. But I can remember God saying at one time, "Would you give her up for me?" What? What would you want me to do that for? And kind of having a little bit of a debate. Well, not so much a debate. I was just kind of a bit, oh, I don't really want to do that. But little did I know it was going to work out for my good. I sure. All right. But I didn't think it was for real. But hey, it happened. We parted as good friends. But yeah, I was broken-hearted. It's good to get broken-hearted now again. You get to feel people's pain, you know? not good at the time, but it's good eventually. All right. Those things didn't work out. So it's difficult. You know, I hated being single. I admit it. Hated it. Hated being single. And that's not good. All right, because when you do that, you start to get desperate and you make an embarrassment out of yourself sometimes. And that kind of thing. Didn't like being single. It wasn't good. You can lower your standards. And the more desperate you get, the more your standards could get lowered. You've got to be careful. All right. Just a word to whoever. That was with me. All right. Okay. Anyway, went back to Gloucester with all the kind of stuff going on. Became the youth leader. Thought I'd arrived. Not really, but, you know, I thought I had. It was all right for a few years. Went a bit kind of pear-shaped towards the end. Like sometimes it can. I moved to Bristol after that. Felt a bit kind of battered. That can happen sometimes in your Christian life. You know, you can feel a bit battered, feel a bit bruised. But thankfully, I developed a walk with God where I could just take one step in front of the other. You know, you keep those disciplines. You keep on praying. You keep on praising. Well, I had to learn how to praise, really. I didn't really like the praise. I just thought, come on, can we just get on with the word, please? Stop singing now. Worship leaders, you're doing me head in. Come on. It's time to finish now. Just want the word, please. All right. Sorry, anybody who's out there who's a worship leader. That's just where I was at the time. God has taught me otherwise now. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Those days I thought there's plenty of time for praising God in heaven. Let's just get on with it. God has done a work on me. All right, moved to Bristol and got myself a trade. Nominal determinism. That's a big word, isn't it? I can't even say it properly. Nominal determinism. Sparker. Became a sparky. Okay, became an electrician. Did some more youthing whilst I was there. Didn't see massive growth, but, you know, it's all good experience. I'd had a scripture that was kind of inbuilt into my life. We better show a scripture, haven't we? Because otherwise, it wouldn't be good. Psalm 37, verse 4. I don't even have to turn to it. I said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will satisfy the desires of your heart. It had always been something that God had brought back to me again and again and again before I went on the ACE team program. Again and again, God speaks this scripture to me. Sometimes it would come from the front of the church. Sometimes it would just be there in my Bible. Sometimes people would send it to me. Wow, God's speaking again. Isn't it great? God speaks to us. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God speaks to every single one of us if we're listening? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And I'd always had a desire to go to Bible college. I love the Bible, you know. God had put that into me as well, you know. It's just something I really enjoyed reading it, got a lot out of it. I know it's harder for some folks, but yeah, to me, I just loved it. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to go to Bible college one day, but I thought, nah, maybe that wasn't going to happen. Maybe it was kind of my ACE team thing. That was the Bible college. But my pastor, a wise man, spiritual man, down in Bristol, said to me, well, why don't you go to Roffey for a term? See what God has to say to you. All right, I'll do it then. So I did. I didn't have the money for it, but God did. I had to take another step of faith, and you never know what God opens up to you when you take a step of faith. All right, so it was kind of exciting. Turn up at Roffey. Like I say, it was another step of faith. God covered my bills. I got an unexpected tax rebate. Boom. It covered my fees, but were pretty substantial, but not compared to some. I loved it. So I loved it so much, I stayed on for the whole year. Such lovely women of God there. Believe it, for where you lot all come from? Where have you been all my life? I was doing my thing again, where I was kind of trying to give God a hand, you know, and get myself set up. Very distracting. But anyway, the year was ending, and I was still single. I know, it's bad. What am I going to do? What am I going to do, God? I'm not sure what I'm going to do at the end of this year. And there'd been this advert that had been on the the billboard or whatever else you want to call it there for a youth and community worker. Elohim Church. rang Pastor Lynn, I think it was, wasn't it? I spoke to Pastor Lynn on the phone. Said, I've seen the advert, and we agreed to meet up at Faith Camp. That's how late in the day it was. Went over to see Pastor Lynn and Brian and the crazy church that was on the unit there. And we kind of chatted through a few things. And, I think they got the impression, the man, you're the one that we want. I wasn't sure at first, but a week can be a long time, and God started speaking. And here I am. Here I am. Again, started doing youth work at the church there. It was another step of faith. Rye, Pastor Lynn, Faye, and Just the Dog took me into their home. Thank you very much. It's a very interesting time seeing how a pastor operates. I thought, wow, what a fascinating dynamic this is. You know, just again, it just builds respect into your life to see all the kind of things that have got to be coped with as a leader, with the phone going and people coming in and people going out, and a busy life dealing with people's lives. People's lives are messy, you know. They like to come and bring their mess to you and kind of dump it on you, like to do, you know. And that's why, you know, I've always admired the leaders, because you see the kind of things that they go through. So that was a great insight into what leadership is about, you know. And that's why we need to pray for our leaders. Do you do that? Do you pray for your leaders? Do you encourage them? Do you pray for your leaders? Amen. Good. Keep it up. Pray more. Okay? Pray more. Encourage your leaders more. You know, they need it. All right? Be encouragers. Right, where am I? Yeah, I'm somewhere back in around about the year 2000. So, I'm doing youth work for about 3 years. I kind of came to an end. I thought, what am I going to do with my life now? I don't know what to do with my life. I have lost my identity. I am no longer a youth leader. What am I, you know? Is it funny, isn't it? Human beings, what we go through, you know, God has got this identity. You are a son, you are who I have called you to be, and yet, we kind of come to the end of certain things. And it can be tough, and it was tough. You know, I felt it was hard. It was a hard time. I didn't know what I was going to do. There was a few kind of options. But thankfully, God was still speaking. He speaks through the Bible. I know it. He does. He has. He did. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, that famous chapter. Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And I was just given the one verse, actually, 11, but I thought, hey, I've been to Bible college. I'm going to read it in context. So, that's what I did. I kind of read the beginning of the chapter, and it became the word of the Lord to me. It said, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. And this is where it kind of started for me in verse 5. Build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, eat the food they produce, marry, have children, and find spouses for them so that you they have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Not saying that I'm exiled here, by the way, but anyway. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. So God is quite clearly saying to me, this is where I want you, this is where you're going to stay. I said, God, okay, that's enough for me. I'm going to stand on that. Here I stay. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And we know about the rest of the verse. Let's read out that lovely verse. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disasters, to give you a future and a hope. God's got a future and God's got a hope for every single one of us. Absolutely every single one of us. Okay, it's good. God's plans are good. God's plans are good for you today. They're good for you tomorrow. They're going to be good for you the day after that. Okay? So you can trust God with your future. I suppose I ought to bring Sharon in here. I won't get you up to the front, Sharon, because you wouldn't come. So towards the back end of 1999, like I said, I'd kind of come to a place where I'd said to God, okay, God, I've tried this, getting hitched, malarkey, it's not really happening, so I'm just going to rejoice in being single. Because that was the advice I was given at Bible college. If you can rejoice in the situation where you're at, God can move you on. I thought, all right, okay, I'm going to do it. It might be through gritted teeth. Try that again. Gritted teeth. But I'm going to do it. So I did it. And I can remember being down in Horsham after Bible college had finished. And went along to a little gathering that was there. And I was handed an envelope. Being a Bible college student, I thought, there's got to be money in here. This has got to be good. It's got to be money. It's going to be good. But no, it was a letter from a lady. Special lady friend. Yeah, there was a letter in there from Sharon. Sorry, Sharon, I try not to embarrass you too much. But basically saying, like you. What a shock that was. I thought, wow, this is all right. Because she's pretty hot. She's pretty hot. And so, yeah, that was a fantastic surprise that God had for me at the end. It was funny, actually, because Sharon tells me about her interview she had with Pastor Colin when she was going to be a student disciple. He said to her, got a boyfriend yet? No. He says, oh, I think God's got some nice surprises for you. Still didn't get it, bless her. Good ones, he says. Good ones. And, that's why I know he's on the money, Pastor Colin. You know, we can trust. I didn't come across well at all, did it? But you know what I mean? You can trust a man of God like that. You can correctly. I'm just going to press through. You know, awesome that you can just, bang, get a fantastic, spot-on word like that, you know. And, yeah, we can trust our apostle, you know. We can. We're in good hands, guys. We're in good hands. So, yeah, I like to think of myself as an answer to apostolic prophecy. Within a year, we were married. 16 years later, pray for Sharon. She's got a lot to put up with. But yeah, fantastic. Two boys. You know, we're in it together. She's a prayer warrior. She looks after me. And, yeah, it's awesome what God will do when you let him do his thing. Yeah? Stop interrupting him. It doesn't work. Let God do what he wants to do, yeah? Surrender to him, you know? Let your life be a continual surrender to God. And good things will happen. Right? So, where am I? I'm kind of all over the place. But anyway, still plenty of adventures that God had in store for me. One of my highlights was taking some of you guys over to Poland. Do you remember that, don't you? Anybody else came over to Poland at the time? Charlene, yeah, Nick, Rosalind, yeah. She took a step of faith and got a nice surprise, didn't she? She got a fella and got married. But yeah, it was, again, it was an awesome time. Like, come on, guys, let's go. And we got there and you guys kind of got behind us. We did it with prayer, we did it with fasting. And God just did amazing things. He's kind of used us. How mad is that? People got saved, people got filled with the Holy Spirit. The church grew by 25%. Awesome what God can do when you make yourself available to him. You know? Just awesome. That was, again, just one of the highlights from years past. And has he? Yep. Wow. Yeah. And it was nowhere near that big when we went over. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know the pastor of the church. He's Pastor Swavik. He's doing awesome things. You know, God is really using him. And I think it was a real powerful time for him as well. You know, he said, when we were there, this has been the most powerful time in my life. Mum and Dad have been baptized in the Spirit. And it all happens when you make yourself available to God. Just take a step out of faith, you know. Take a step out in faith. I just want to encourage you guys to do that, you know. God says something, let him kind of inspire things in you. Things that he wants you to do. And when you step out, you're going to find that things happen even more than you can hope, ask, or imagine. It's awesome. Get an adventure going with God. I've got other adventures I want to do. There's other things that's still in my heart that I know that God's going to take me into. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've been through times of discouragement, but thankfully, you know, I've had people there to encourage me. Again, women of God. Pastor Lynn kind of encouraged me. God's still got things for you. You know, it's good to encourage. I want to encourage you to be encouragers. You know, because words of strength come from you when you encourage people. You know, not just kind of stuff off the top of your head. You know, try and pray. Get stuff from God, you know. And encourage people. It gives strength. You know, it's all throughout the Bible how, you know, when people are encouraged, the work of God goes forward. And, yeah, so I was convinced, yeah, God still has things for you. So, okay, yeah, I'm going to believe it. It's encouraging. That's encouraging. Thank you for that. I'm going to believe that God has still got things for me in my life and that kind of thing. All right, yeah, you can encourage the preacher by saying amen. You can encourage the worship team. You can encourage the worship team by joining in worship. There's so many different ways that we can encourage one another. You can send a gift. You can go and visit. You can do these things to encourage those people that need encouraging, because it gives strength and it builds people up. Let's be an encouraging church, guys, yeah? Yes. Excellent. Okay, so kind of bringing it a bit more up to date. Getting on the leadership team. Another kind of step of faith. It's kind of... Pastor Lynn said, well, what do you feel is all God's saying to you? Yeah, I'll go away and pray about it. And then it had to come from me. He said, I think God's got this for you. No, he didn't let me do that. Didn't let me get away with that. I had to come out of it myself. What do you think God is saying to you? Well, I think God's saying it should be on the leadership team. Pastor Shane. We've been battling in the trenches, so we've got to know each other down there in Desford. The Desford trenches. Working with the young people, you know, we'd got to know each other well, got on, and so, yeah, it's happened. Took a leap of faith, and here we are, you know, and it's a privilege and an honour. Well, Pastor Shane, it's a privilege and an honour to serve you guys. You would think that God would choose someone who knew what he was doing, but, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, he has a plan. Come on, get in there and get on with it. And that's what you got to do. And God helps you along the way. You don't get everything right. You've probably noticed that. But, you know, God is there. He's a constant strength. And, he's got more things for me to do in my life. He's got more things he wants me to step into. I know it. Same for you guys. You know, if you're still breathing, God's got more things for you. He's got more purpose for your life. There's things that he wants you to step into that you haven't stepped into. There's words that he's got for you that he hasn't spoken to you yet. You know? Keep going forward, guys. Keep going forward. All right, so it fits me a lot better, kind of not having ultimate responsibility for things. It doesn't fuzz my brain so much. Is that, you know, it's great to just be able to be a support. It fits good, you know, still kind of support with the youth and with Pastor Shane and other things that are going on. It's great. It's good to, when you're in the place that God wants you to be, it fits well, okay? Just make yourself available. That's all I'm saying. Keep being available to God. Say, God, I am going to be available to you. Sometimes you've got to do it through gritted teeth, but do it. So here's my challenge. It's just a recap, really. I'm going to call it a challenge anyway. All right. Don't be stupid like I was and harden your heart. Don't do it. it's not good for you, all right? Okay, never let go of putting one foot in front of the other. Keep moving forward. You can just applaud even though you feel you might have a burden on your back. Keep plodding away like that ox does, yeah? Okay, never stop taking leaps of faith because you never know what it's going to lead to. God has got awesome things ahead of us. When we'll take that step of faith, you know, how many things have we missed out on because we wouldn't take that step of faith? You know, Peter never would have known what it was like to walk on water if he hadn't got out of that boat, would he? He was the only one that did it, you know. Yeah, come on, said Jesus. Come on, Jesus. You know what I mean? He knew what was going to happen. He called him out of the boat anyway. Come on, yeah. Take that leap of faith, and he would say that to us this morning. Take the leaps of faith that I've got for you. And it's going to be awesome, guys. It's going to be awesome. Don't think that God has done with you. You know, there was times in my life, my Christian life, oh, God's done with me now. No, he hasn't. You know, he hadn't done with me. It's just the enemy lying like he does, right? Don't let him lie to you. You know, are you a father? Are you a mother in Israel? Can you be an encourager to people? Story is to be continued. My story is to be continued. You know, just like I say at the film, at the end of the film, be continued. Yeah. And that's my story up to that point. To be continued. God bless you. Thank you very much for being a wonderful congregation.